This reading is from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 18, beginning with the first verse. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, good morning. I am Linda Zastovnik, one of the pastors here, and my area of ministry is lifelong faith formation. So I'm going to invite you to pull out your Bibles. You have a Bible probably around you, or maybe you've brought one from home. You might have it as an app on your phone, but I think it will be helpful because we're going to, as we enter into this sermon, into this unpacking of the text, we're going to be looking at the text before it. Would you pray with me, please? Holy and almighty God, open our hearts, our minds, our spirit to hear your word this day. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Is there faith on earth? Kind of seems to be wearing a little thin these days, don't you think? Now, this is the second week in a series on some of the parables in Luke's gospel. These parables are stories that Jesus told. They're kind of like the top 20 sermons during a preacher's life. Only this Jesus is no ordinary preacher. And these parables take a lifetime to chew on. Today's parable is one of those. Now, you may not even remember hearing it before, because it would probably never make anybody's top 20 sermons. And I'm going to apologize in advance for that. This parable is not a simple story, and it requires more than one reading to understand what Jesus may be saying here. And really, who takes that kind of time? But back in Bible times, this is how time was spent in neighborhoods, coming together and listening to these stories, discussing their meaning, even arguing and debating about them, because people wanted to know what Jesus was saying. What exactly did he mean? Is there faith on earth? Who is yearning to get close to Jesus these days? When the disciples asked Jesus why he spoke to the people in parables, he told them that the parables tell the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. The secrets of the kingdom of heaven. That should get us excited. That should fill us with awe and wonder. But I think we've become numb to the holy God at work in our lives. Does our faith in Christ really matter? We seem to be bored with it all. Or do we believe it all? Is there faith on earth? This is the question that Jesus ends here. Now let's see how he begins. Now you've got the text printed there in your bulletin, but as I said, I want you to also locate it in your Bibles, because I want you to look it up in order to see what's going on before the parable, in order to understand this parable. So as we begin, as we always do, it's who's speaking. And we know it's Jesus because if it's a parable, it's always going to be Jesus. But who is he talking to? So if you were to look at your bulletin, you would see the word them. He's telling them. But who is them? That's why you have to look in advance, up ahead of this, in chapter 17. And so in verse 11, we read that Jesus and his disciples are on their way to Jerusalem. Now, this is a big deal. Jesus is heading to Jerusalem for the Passover for the last time. They are traveling south from the beautiful Galilee where Jesus first met and called his disciples. Now, the disciples don't know this yet, but Jesus is not going to be returning with them. Jesus knows, though, that these are his final weeks. Notice what's happening right before this story. It is important. This is called context. Directly before this parable, Jesus is asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God is coming. Now, these Jewish religious leaders knew all about the prophecies that looked forward to God restoring the kingdom of Israel. They were looking for a powerful earthly kingdom, a mighty king anointed by God, who would once again sit on the throne of Israel. This king, like King David, is what was prophesied that this Messiah would be. So moving to verse 20 in chapter 17, Jesus responds, "You won't see the kingdom of heaven coming. In fact, it's among you." And then he turns to his disciples, probably lowering his voice, and he tells them what we now call the second coming. He tells them about when Jesus is going to return, but Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. Now, to us, that sounds a little odd, but this term is used over 100 times in the Hebrew scriptures, and so they would be familiar to this term. As Jesus talks about returning, this had to be confusing for the disciples because he's right there in front of them. But Jesus had been talking this way, alluding to the fact that he was going to go away, but that he would eventually return at the last days. So the Old Testament is filled with prophecies about the Messiah. And Jesus fulfilled many of these prophecies during his birth, his life, his ministry, his death, and his resurrection. However, there are some prophecies regarding the Messiah that Jesus has not yet fulfilled. This second coming is the return of Christ to fulfill these remaining prophecies. Now, we don't often talk about the second coming because we take Jesus's words seriously. Love God, love others. Focus on today. Who needs love today? We are given new life in Jesus Christ in order to live out our faith by loving. We can trust that if we are living faith, whenever Jesus returns, all will be well. Jesus tells us, do not worry about when he's going to return, but focus on living your faith every day of your life. And so now, let's get to today's parable. Jesus sets up the story for his disciples. Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not lose heart. He's very specific about what this story is about. Pray always and don't lose heart. Clearly, Jesus knew that this in-between time was going to be difficult. People are going to turn against one another. Wars are going to cause great suffering. Refugees would be forgotten. Floods and hurricanes are going to wipe away a lifetime of treasures. Life will be hard. And so Jesus encourages them and us with this story. At first, we meet the judge, who we are told did not love God or others. In fact, he had no respect for anybody. A widow approaches him and over is asking for justice against her opponent. Now, during Bible times, a widow would have absolutely nothing, no social status, the poorest of the poor. Any inheritance would have gone to the brothers of the family of her spouse, not to the wife. Remember that women were treated as possessions back then. But the Jewish law demanded widows would be cared for and they would get justice. But this judge, he doesn't know anything about the Jewish law or care a thing about the Jewish law. He just sees this poor woman who continues to show up seeking justice. I wonder what her opponent did to her. I wonder what kind of justice it is that she's seeking. That's apparently not the point of this parable, because we don't get to know that. But the judge is the focus here. Jesus calls him an unjust judge. This judge doesn't live a faithful life. He is spiritually and morally bankrupt. But there's power in his position as a judge. No matter whether he's living his faith or not, he has the power to grant the widow justice. This gives me hope. In a world where we look at our leaders and our decision makers, corrupt governments and social imbalance, there can still be justice. I think Jesus is saying here, even during hard times and even in the darkest of human beings, right decisions can still be made. So don't give up. Keep at it. Even when you who have no power are facing those who have all the power, justice can still prevail. That's good news. I want you to notice how many times the word justice is in this parable. The first time, the widow speaks it. Grant me justice. The second time, the judge says, I will grant her justice. And then Jesus brings it home with a bang. Will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? God will quickly grant justice to them. And so pray. Don't give up. Keep at it. Because Jesus tells us, if you do, you will receive justice. So are you praying? Or have you given up? Maybe you never really started. If you were like me, when I first started following Jesus and living faith, I struggled with prayer. I tried everything looking for a connection, probably a how-to manual of sorts. I want the steps. Show me, tell me exactly how to do it. But it never felt right. I mean, how do you pray? Everybody talks about prayer, but rarely do I see two or three people gathered together in prayer. Now, I am assuming that all of you are leaving here and praying throughout your days, talking about your fears and your hopes and your dreams with God. Aren't you? I bet you just can't even wait to greet God when you wake up. Or are you like me and you'd rather have your cup of coffee first? Do you have moments where you sit with Jesus? Or go for a walk with him? I mean, he tells us, I am with you always. Get to know what he feels like. And if you've given up on praying, consider this. You may just be weary and needing a rest. I imagine that there is a concern on your heart that you have not yet received or heard a response from God. And so it appears that God is not hearing you or not answering your prayer. Or maybe you've prayed for a healing and it never came. So maybe you're angry at God. Notice in the parable, Jesus tells us that God will grant justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him. That is an intimate relationship that we have with God. We are chosen, and God hears our cries. Wait a minute. If God hears my cries, then why is there still suffering and injustice and cancer? Clearly, I must not have the whole story. But I can and I do trust that God is at work. Can you? This is faith. Now, faith is first mentioned in the scriptures, in the Bible, in the story of Abraham. Now, God told Abraham to go. God would lead him, and Abraham went. God spent the rest of Abraham's years teaching him who God was. Abraham was God's chosen one, and God was with him always. Throughout this book are stories of God's chosen ones who have lived lives of faith. Now, the story continues through lives of millions of Christians to this day. And the story continues with your life. Do you recall the moment when you first professed your faith? When you said, "I believe"? Mine was filled with great joy, not really understanding what was going to be coming from it. But others have different experiences. The great C.S. Lewis writes of his conversion. "You must picture me alone in that room in Magdalen College, night after night, feeling whenever my mind lifted, even for a second from my work, the steady, unrelenting approach of him whom I so earnestly desired not to meet. That which I greatly feared had come upon me. I gave in and admitted that God was God and knelt and prayed. Perhaps that night, the most dejected and reluctant convert in all of England." Becoming God's chosen one is responding to an invitation. Like Abraham, we are all invited to go. But first, Jesus invites us to come. Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. So come and kneel. Look up into the window of the Savior on the cross. Or close your eyes where you are sitting. Open up your hands and picture the one whose name is love. Receive the greatest gift you will ever be given, new life in Christ. Chosen one, professing your faith is just the beginning. What does living your faith look like? Living faith can be filled even with questions and doubts. Saint Teresa of Calcutta, Mother Teresa, was tormented by her faith, and she suffered periods of doubt about God. At times, she found it even hard to pray. She writes in her letters to her spiritual director, "I utter words of community prayers and try my utmost to get out of every word the sweetness it has to give. But my prayer of union is not there any longer. I no longer pray." Sisters and brothers, these are our saints, human saints who struggle. If you struggle in prayer, if you are a reluctant believer, you are in good company. Living faith happens one day at a time. But faith is something that everybody should see. How visible is your faith? What does it look like? Now, I'm not talking about crosses or t-shirts or something attached to your backpack. Faith comes from learning the stories in this book. We all begin at different ages, but we commit to never stop learning. Our studies will lead us in many different directions, but we always begin and end in here. Faith is grounding our lives in Christ. It's how we're oriented. Everything we think, say, and do comes from this grounding. And finally, faith is trusting and believing that there is an eternal truth to this mystery of God, who is the source and the destiny of our lives. Faith is a lifelong response to the call of God. Lifelong. We're always learning. We're grounded in Christ. We're trusting and we're believing, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult, and even when it doesn't feel like God is listening or hearing our cries. Finally, faith is leaning into the coming kingdom that God has promised with our prayers. Faith brings justice. Don't lose heart. Pray always. I want to read the last words of this sacred book we call the Word of God. As you reflect on the question Jesus asks us in this parable, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on this earth? I am coming soon. My reward is with me to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I, Jesus, am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let everyone who hears say, come. And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen and amen.